On Rewind, a look back at an interesting series, Revolution, which aired for 2 seasons on NBC. This episode looks back at their sophomore season. And this is Sci-Fi Talk, the podcast on how sci-fi, fantasy, horror, and comics help us explore our humanity. The series left off season one with nuclear missiles that were launched. This series takes place in 2027, after a worldwide power blackout. From San Diego Comic-Con roundtables, to start us off is J.D. Pardo, who played Jason Neville.
Enjoying the con so far?
Starting to get settled in a bit. Came last night, so we had to work late.
So,
getting settled in.
What's it been like for you this season, with especially the relationship with your father? Both have gone different extremes, it seems, from the beginning of the season till where the season ended.
I really like that. Now we're kind of, the group's been like separated from each other, and I think that what that allows is it gives a freedom to really explore each of the individual stories. And so now that Giancarlo and myself were away from the group, and the bombs have dropped, and we're searching for Mom, and we get to really explore that complicated relationship more. It's an intense father-son relationship, I guess. But it's really nice. I love playing with him, especially with it's Giancarlo Esposito. There's so much you can learn from him as an actor, and I'm always, for me it's a challenge. I want to make a mess up, I really he's always trying to sun me, so I really want to hurt him. I want to get him,
More Rewind with Revolution Season 2 in a moment. And he talks about his character's relationship with Charlie.
I think that, look, it's, they're separated now, so there's going to be a little bit more to like explore within like the storylines in itself. But I wouldn't. Right now, we're kind of away from each other, and that's life in a way, which I think is really cool, because it's not like the guy doesn't really always stay, like Superman doesn't stay with Lois Lane throughout the whole process. Like, there's all these individual stories, and in order to really get into their individual stories, they have to separate a bit. So it's good. It gives some breathing room, but I think it's, I think it's going to come back to that at some point.
What about his character dealing with having electricity and power after literally growing up without it?
One of the great things that Neville has taught his son is to adapt. And there's nothing, especially if you weren't aware of power, so that when power comes back on, it's foreign to you. But it's not like you don't really have anything to compare it to, where I can imagine Neville and Miles and Rachel, and they can really compare this time to that time, and maybe they say, that was better than now, it's not really the same anymore. So for my character, it's just kind of going with the flow.
When the series started, no one really knew who Jason was and really what side you were on.
I didn't know either, by the way. Yeah.
So what was that like, not knowing about your character?
It's tough. It's not easy. You want to know, I think. And that's the great thing with film, is that you know the story from beginning to end. And so you can really play out that character, and what your intention is, what you're going for, and how everything's going to unfold. But, at a certain point, I just had to give it up and just say, who is this guy, and what's his core? And I think that even though you saw him betray Charlie and then betray his father, you could see that he was really trying to do the right thing. He wouldn't kill Charlie because that was wrong. And besides, he liked the girl. So, you got to take care of the girl. But then his father would give him an order, and he would follow through with it because that's the right thing. right thing to do, like in the military, and also that's his dad. But then you get to see him stand up for himself a bit more and be like, you know, I'm going to disobey you because I really don't agree with you. So I think now going into the second season, there's a little bit more acceptance. You know, he knows who his dad is, and it's not, you know, he's not the best guy in the world, but that's who he has. That's his father. And so he has to accept him and move on.
And where would you like to see Jason go in season two?
I would love to see the Jason militia. I think Jason starts his own militia, has a huge war with his dad. Jason, you know, overtakes his father, starts taking over the United States. No, just kidding, I don't know. And he gets the girl.
Oh, I can sneak one in. I mean, I really stuck with this show. I had trouble hooking in at first,
right,
but then all the wheels aligned, you know, by mid-season, and I go, oop, I think they found the show. Did you guys sense that working on it too?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I think as actors, you can feel it just sort of going this way or that way. And you know, most of the time, not all the time, I mean, there are some shows that just kind of hit it from day one, and those are like special. You just cannot, I mean, Breaking Bad, that's an incredible show. But I think that there was so much on Revolution from the beginning, and also being a part of a network series, that the network was trying to find the legs. You know, like, what is this really? Like, who are we really following? And you have all these characters. So you're listening to, you know, the criticism. You're listening to the critics. You're listening to the fan base. So, I mean, as actors, we could feel that. And then we could feel, like, the legs, you know, the foundation being set a bit. And I think now we're, you know, we feel good. We feel it's, you know, we're excited to be in Texas. We're excited to start this new series and, you know, really take it to a higher level. Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say the last 6 or 7 episodes were like must-see TV. It was like every week we had this.
Great.
I had to tune in. I had to see what
was great.
Yeah, it was really, you guys, you found your groove.
Yeah,
and
thank you.
Bringing the power back, that was it. That was
right.
Like the key MacGuffin,
right,
if you want to call it that.
Right.
That was the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now it's back, and now you're going to find out, or now the question is, why was it turned off?
Right.
And so that is, you know, that's going to lead into, you know, a big, that's those are all bigger questions, and you know, we'll see how the characters deal with it.
He tells us how he finds out what's going to be happening in the series.
Yeah, I mean, I try to get it out of the producers a bit, and they'll, like, I'll listen to words, you know, they'll be like, you're dragged out. I'm like, dragged? That's interesting, because that would imply that it's against my will. So who's dragged? And then like, oh, no.
There's more of my Revolution special. Let's get back now to my Revolution special. This is part 1 of 2. New on the production side this season is Rockne S. O'Bannon, bringing his expertise from Alien Nation and Farscape to help produce this series.
I was a fan of the show last year. I was in the maelstrom of creating 2 shows of my own last year, which I don't recommend that. As cool as it may sound, do not do that. Do not try that at home. But this was the only network show that I like made a point of watching, you know, because I just loved it. I just, you know, I had no expectations of being part of it. Had never met Kripke before. I was always a fan, but and so when the opportunity came up, I went and met with him, and he talked about what he was going to do second season, and I got wildly excited. So just a fan, and so I started. I mean, I'm in kind of an enviable position of being a fan of the show, who actually gets to like jump on the show and like, you know, be part of it. So no, it's great. There's power, and there's not, and there's no. Yeah, it's really. I mean, for me, it's going into the second season. It's just really torquing everything up, and it's. I always pictured the show, and we're really kind of diving into that in second season as a real mythic tale, a mythic saga of essentially mankind's future. We go along, here we are with all your electronics in a world that we're incredibly dependent on our gadgets and the things in our lives. And I think that's also the initial fascination with the show is what would it be like if that were not the case? Taking that and saying, okay, what it's done is it's given mankind an opportunity that we would never have taken on our own to kind of move into another iteration, to essentially evolve beyond our power, our electronic power independence. And what's that? How do we come out of that? Where do we come out of that? And so I kind of picture the characters in the show as the kind of epic heroes of mankind's future. So I picture that our characters will, in 100 years from when the series takes place, there will be statues erected to some of them, and then there'll be cautionary books written about others, because they're, and you don't know quite watching the show who's going to be who, who's going to be the statues, and who's going to be the ones that they are warned about. And so at the essence, we're watching the founders of America, for example. But if you're actually there to see them, so you're seeing them kind of warts and all. So you're seeing people that are going to be considered the heroes that set in play the mankind's future. But you're seeing them in a way that, again, you see them in with all their pros and cons and all that. So I just found it fascinating. And, all of us on staff are, as we should be, are big fans of like shows like Game of Thrones. So that kind of that notion of a big kind of mythic saga is something that this show can do really well. I think it can kind of become that biggest show on network TV last year. That's what I like about it last year. It's got big ideas. It's just big. It's got big ideas. It's got big emotion. It's got big spectacle. Like I said, it's so cool to have been a fan and I get to work on it.
Will we see an immediate response to the cliffhanger with the missiles launching, or will we jump ahead in time?
I hate to give that away, but because every scene is really quite the surprise and gets you thinking too. You really have to kind of lean forward. So yeah, in terms of how we open the show, we worked really hard to get it so that you go, okay, I wasn't expecting that. So I don't want to give it away.
How do you compare this to your Farscape experience?
It's obviously very, very different. Farscape had a kind of tone, that was just kind of more like, a looser tone. This is because it's us, we're watching a show that's essentially about us and our children, it's more grounded in a more kind of real, and it's, I think there's, it's more, this is more serious. Farscape was more of a kind of broad entertainment, I think, very proud, obviously very proud of Farscape. It's a very much a different animal. I find it fascinating. As someone who has kids, and you guys know, it's like, I'm very anxious to know kind of what the world's going to be that my kids inhabit. And then you throw into that the notion of this, the loss of power. And I go, okay, what's that going to be? I mean, what would that be like for them? And what would I need to do to protect them? I was talking to Giancarlo, who plays Neville in the show, and he's got kids as well. And, we talked very much about that, what we would do. Talking about the Neville character, what he's willing to do to protect. He can't be worried about the world at large. He has to be worried about his family, his wife who he loved dearly, and his son. That's who he has to protect. And to do that, he'll do absolutely anything. He'll be incredibly ruthless. And, I can kind of identify with him. I mean, I can see, I'd love to think I wouldn't, but no, to protect my family, under really arduous circumstances, you kind of do. So, yeah.
Well, I can say that, for me, Farscape is in its own category and very special. But for this show, I think when it became, instead of getting back to power, now I look at it as who's got the power, and how did their power go off? And that, to me, when they found their groove there, I think that's where that's the impulse for season two to really go
that's
in a
great.
Better
no,
direction.
That's you're very wise. Yes, that's no, truly. I was very, as a fan of the show, the first season, I was very just gratified because shows like this, you can go, okay, the power's out, we're going to try to get the power back on, and you go, you know, years trying to do that, and you're just going, okay, you know, okay, get it, you know, no, they got the, you know, the power was coming back on, and really unusual to me, and unexpected incarnations and such, and it really became more. It wasn't just about there's no power, how do we get back on, which can get really tired very quickly. So no, you're absolutely right. And yeah, I think I'm
Holly,
pleased to say we're, you know, doing some really wild stuff in season two. You know.
Cool. Yeah.
Coming up next is Billy Burke, whose Miles Matheson had quite an arc in its first season.
So for Miles, do you feel like, I mean, watching it, it looked like he really discovered his sense of family and his relationship to his family this season?
Yeah, he came in with a very sort of skewed concept of what family is. And now he's having to sort of rearrange what that is. Even still, going into this season, we're going to get separated again, and he's going to have to figure out, okay, well, this is what I fought for last time. Am I willing to do that again?
And I like the past kind of haunting him a little bit, too. He's carrying some baggage around.
He's carrying a big, fat backpack full of weird yes.
More Revolution on Rewind in just a moment. Where does he see Miles going this year?
I try not to speculate and try not to hope, because we all know what happens when you hope. Nothing really good happens. So I just, you know, we're blessed with some great writers, and I just put the trust in them, and I don't want to think about where it's going, you know? I actually enjoy the way we make this show. I get a script, we're up and running the next day, and we make it up as we go along.
Will Miles use the newfound power, or will he continue on the path he was on for the last decade plus?
I think I can tell you that the power doesn't stay on for long, so it's not something he has to worry about that much. What he does have to worry about was what they did with the power when it was on. And he's got to carry that around. Because nothing good came of that, really, either, as one might imagine from the finale.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Will we get to see more flashbacks to get some more insights on Miles' past?
Yeah, there is. Well, we hope to see more of that, too. I'm not sure if that... We'll still use the flashback device this season, but I'm not sure how far we'll flashback. Because from what it looks like, and we just started episode two right now, but we're using the flashback device to sort of bring us back to the moment of the finale instead of way back. But I think we'll get back into the deep flashbacks, too.
Did anything surprise you from last season?
Well, everything's kind of surprising as we, you know, as these pages unfold for us. It's all sort of like, really? Yeah, the relationship between Miles and Rachel was obviously, you know, we still have huge question marks about that. It's not as much surprising as it is as we as actors sometimes we've got questions as to, you know, why this moment's taking place and why this is being said, and so we're often on the phone or emailing with Kripke saying like, clue me in, you know. As soon as we get to Danny and he croaks, that was a bit of a, you know, and then further on, Nora dying as well. I mean, you start to realize that this is this show is kind of making this show is sort of a metaphor for life. I mean, you're gonna get close with some people and they're gonna go away. So yeah, that's it's tough.
Now, besides Rocknius O'Bannon, Ben Edlund came over from Supernatural for season two as a consulting producer.
So what was your impression of the show before you came on, and, you know, what ideas kind of sprang to your head immediately when you were watching?
In a way, because I was working on Supernatural and Eric
Eric's office was at Supernatural when he started to conceive of this pilot, and actually it was fun because he asked for my sort of just bouncing off and kind of talking, and we so I've been kind of around it as it's grown and been like very involved in like the choice to like make nanotechnology part of the show and stuff. So there's been a lot that I've felt invested in, and that, so I've been thinking about it since it started. It's felt very natural to come over from Supernatural and just kind of take part in it, and I'm really excited by world building, and so I feel like this is a chance to really get on. This is, I think, the most ambitious sort of like grab an alternate future and really run with scope, and it has a lot of amazing stuff that it has yet even to, it really has only started to open its like gifts in a way.
He gives us some interesting insight on how to approach this new season.
If you thought of like that season as book one of a series that investigates this world, and book one was kind of a study of one of the regions that kind of, as it recovers from all of these events, and it's expressed as a sort of a struggle between our characters and the Monroe Republic, and so that's book one. It's a certain view on this world. When we come back to our characters, we'll have jumped in time to a degree. We'll be down in Texas investigating the next chapter of their lives as the Patriots come up from the South, the president. But the president is obviously, well, I will say that the president is not everything that you would suspect he should be, and that that group is deeply sinister, almost like the worst, really the worst of contemporary humanity, kept in a petri dish in Havana, thinking like, you know, what's the H.G. Wells, like vast cool intellects, you know, gazing up at us, but you know, basically they have a very sinister game that they're coming up to play, and I think it's, on its own, it would be a fascinating conceit, I think, for something, but the underlying truth of this series is also that its inciting incident is a nanotechnological event. The events of the tower have unraveled what was a very stable sweater just around the Earth that had two jobs, replicate and interrupt the exchange of electricity in everything but biological form, right? So, and, you know, meteorological, if you want to be. Anyway, so like that has now changed, and there is really, from the perspective of world building and playing with monster building and stuff like that, there's an immense corridor wide open for this show that is no one else is playing with this stuff like we're playing with it, and it's a slow game that's just going to keep ramping. It's going to speed up now in some ways, and I think it'll be really fascinating.
He gives us his thoughts on why this series connects for NBC.
I think they were probably really amazed that this made, and I think Revolution struck and does strike some kind of, everyone responds to this notion of the power going out. It's a very, it's a grabbing idea, because, so NBC, I think, I mean, I think what they want to do is express themselves as, you know, like a real patron of this area of genre, and they've been putting up shows that do that, and, but this is, you know, there's a heritage that this has that comes from things like Lost. Like, the appetite has been established, but it's, so I think that all works really well. I mean, I don't know, I think I drifted away from the answer, but NBC is pleased.
One of the things I thought was the show was really trying to find itself a little bit in the beginning.
Yeah.
But then, as I was mentioning, the last six or seven episodes, you know, it's like, it's sort of all the wheels kind of clicked into place, and it right. found what it was, uh-huh. and now, as a result, the episodes got more ramped up, and we found where we were going.
Yeah.
Did you find that too from, you know, your experience?
Sure. And I sort of, definitely in viewing that develop, I think, because I wasn't very involved. It was just storytelling itself to me as well, right, for the first season. I think that that is true as it gained its momentum and really found what the characters were striving for and how they were defined. It came into its own, and I think that it landed in a place that is ripe to expand to other quarters, and so it's investigated in a sense. It's kind of closed the book on whether or not the power is going to come back on. Power has been seared off, in essence, and now we're going to investigate kind of new vistas, if that makes sense.
He describes more of a force that's coming into this second season.
I think just in, because as this force comes up from Cuba, which is not a military force, it functions a little bit more deceptively and weirdly than that, but it's already becoming, like, it's bringing, like, knowledge of the world, and being in Texas will create an awareness of what Mexico is up to, and I think ultimately, as the characters explore this kind of how this adventure like unfolds, we'll start to get, this will be the Texas corridor, and we were in the kind of the northeast and the eastern corridor, and then California will begin to sort of make, we'll start to hear echoes of what's happening in California. I'm convinced there's a Pope there, but I'm, you know, we're not 100% sure, but I think it's a promising area. All of Christianity, or a certain new stripe that has this incredible, like, act of God, you know, to look at and say, well, this is, I mean, you can see a church forming very powerfully around that as it's inciting, you know. Anyway, these are all really wild places to go.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty rich.
Revolution is available to buy at Apple TV, Google Play, Amazon, Vudu, and Microsoft to revisit this series.
Customizable podcast playlists, exclusive videos, special episodes like the Mix 100 podcasts selected by listener downloads. All this and more at Sci-Fi Talk Plus. And now with 1,000 episodes, uncut, and a special offer for free lifetime access now available until May 1st, click on the link in the show notes. No anonymous signups are allowed.
For Rewind, this is Tony Tolotto. Thanks so much for listening.